When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics. In this weekly show, the Husker Online team will give you the latest insight on Husker football, basketball, baseball, and of course, recruiting. Now, here's your host, Husker Online publisher, Sean Callahan.
Hello here and welcome again to another edition of the Husker Online show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett. And full disclosure, we're taping ahead of time, but this is our spring football preview show and kind of building around the spring break week and basketball travel that's coming for both Robin and Sip. So what we're going to do in this special edition of the Husker Online show is a full-fledged preview of spring football. Later on in the show, you'll hear from Abby Barmore as we have a special spring preview mailbag. But this is a part of the show that we like to call opening headlines. So let's discuss the big opening headline here of spring practice, year two of Matt Rhule. I think it starts with Dylan Raiola and kind of what that picture looks like. And by the way, they did tweet a picture of Dylan Raiola in Matt drills. That's one of the first times I've seen him.
Good.
And it was in their final Matt drills that were Thursday before spring break. They went inside the stadium and did Matt drills in the evening at 8:45 at night. And then the players took off on Friday to go off for their spring break.
Yeah, Matt Rhule wants those guys to be uncomfortable. 8:45 practice sounds a little uncomfortable to me.
Outdoors.
It's good to see Dylan out front. He should be out front. I mean, he's probably the projected starting quarterback. I mean, let's not talk around it. Now, I don't think Dylan probably cares one way or the other. I think he's just shown up and put in his work. So, but okay, that would be storyline number one, right? What's storyline number two?
Well, I think Sean said it, year two of Matt Rhule, where a year ago, everything was brand new. Like, everyone was learning on the fly. Mm-hmm. Players were learning coaches were learning players. Everybody was just trying to figure out the expectations and all that stuff. Now that's cemented, and mm-hmm. guys know what to expect. And you have a lot of returning veterans that are helping set the tone. So this is where that whole conversation of the jump from year two is the biggest one usually a program makes. And I think this is probably a critical time with these Matt drills and the leadership that's being established right now from newcomers like Dylan Raiola to your returning seniors like Ty Robinson and Nash Hutmaker. I mean, this is where it begins, and this is where I think you're going to first start to see the difference between year one to year two.
I'd say three headline. Third headline is how good the defense. How good can the defense be? It was 11th in the country in total defense last year. It was 7th in the country in average yards allowed. You can count up and find pretty much, it's subjective, but 17 players that played pretty prominent roles on that defense. Mm-hmm. 17 guys with significant
the benefit
experience
of rotating as much as they do.
Exactly. So how good can the defense be is a big question in my mind.
Yeah, and what will the picture of spring look like in year two? I mean, last year they had 6 scholarship quarterbacks, 2 were out, but they made them live. Like, now they have 3, which is to my knowledge, it's the smallest number they've ever had in the history of this program.
I don't know if you can make them live, can you?
I don't know if you could have less than 3 quarterbacks on scholarships. I'll go on record and say I believe this is the fewest number of scholarship quarterbacks Nebraska has ever had on a roster. Mm. So, yeah, are they going to be more careful with those quarterbacks? Will there be any will Dylan Raiola take a hit this spring?
Common sense dictates that you don't make them live very often.
Mm-hmm. Maybe once or twice. But, again, you can't afford an injury there. With the lack of depth there. I mean, you have Harburg, who's back with starting experience, but you just don't have much.
Right. Well, yeah, and you kind of know what you have now with Harburg compared mm-hmm. to a year ago. You had no idea. Mm-hmm. And one of his biggest attributes was his physicality and his running. So why not allow him to showcase that in a live setting? Now you have plenty of film. You know what that whole picture looks like. And then obviously with Raiola, I don't know if, like Sip said, common sense leads you to say, let's make this freshman live for this veteran defense to just whip up on him for a whole spring.
You know, Rob, the counterpoint on that, though, what makes it complicated is they have to develop. Daniel Kalen and Rayola, for sure, they have to develop. And Harburg, I mean, we've talked about it. He's still pretty young. He's not even old enough to go in bars. His game can develop. So there's a fine line the new quarterback coach has to walk here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a storyline. And we'll talk more. And we have an offensive segment, so we'll hit on Glenn Thomas more in that discussion moving forward. But these transfers, I think in general, they didn't take a lot of them, but I think they took a lot of impact transfers.
No doubt.
And what will the impact of these six guys be? There's 23 new faces here for the spring. 17 are high school, 16 of those 17 are scholarship, and then you have six scholarship transfer additions. I mean, that's the most newcomers I can ever recall in a spring. I don't know if you could have much more than that, what they've added as far as 22 scholarship newcomers that are already here.
Yeah, that's gigantic. And I think leading the way in that, as far as those transfers go, are those two receivers, Jamal Banks and Isaiah Naor. Jamal Banks had 59 catches last year at Wake. I mean, 59 catches last year for 653 yards. Naor hasn't had – he's had one reception in 2 years, but he was a big-time weapon at Wyoming the last time he played a full season. Hey, Rob, 12 touchdowns in a season for a receiver. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that at Nebraska in a while, right? 12 in a season?
Nope.
So those two guys are really – I mean, I guarantee you when we have a chance to watch those few opportunities we get – those two big receivers will really stand out.
Well, yeah, especially Naor. I mean, just watching him, just seeing him in public and the eyeball test that he presents. It's been a long time since Nebraska's had a guy with that body type, with that length.
You and Sean height. Saw him, right?
Yeah, he was at the St. Michael's deal. Speaking event.
And Naor made that big of an impression, a bigger impression than Banks?
I mean, to me.
Interesting.
They both are huge, though.
Yeah. I mean,
just that edge blocking and – you know, those little hitch routes where a corner has to tackle you. I mean, they could probably get a lot of 6-7 yard plays with those guys just on the edge where they're going to get you in second and three because they're going to get you on schedule with those plays.
And they get downfield.
They get off the line of scrimmage because a little corner is not going to hold those guys.
Naor is probably your bigger down threat of the two. Banks averaged 11 yards per catch, which is good, not great. Naor at Wyoming averaged 20 yards a catch on 44 catches. I mean, he's averaging 20 yards a catch. He's your downfield guy, if he's right.
So a lot of people always ask, what kind of access do you get? What do you get to watch? We don't get to see much. And, you know, we get to go to every practice to do interviews. And we'll probably hear from Coach Rule twice a week. But there'll be 3, maybe 4 days where we get to go in. And it's just the first 30 minutes. And it's pre-practice walkthrough. It's stretching, maybe individual periods, but no team periods. So, you know, people are like, how does so-and-so look? It's really hard, you know, to say, man.
Flexible.
So-and-so looks really good. I mean, when they're
that's not much to see.
When that's the picture you get to see. If you don't get to see a true team period, whether it's 7-on-7, inside run, or true team, you know, it's hard to make huge takes other than just eyeball takes, like
especially in the trenches, like evaluating offensive linemen or defensive linemen in that setting is worthless. Like anybody that tries to have these like big takeaways from those 30 minute windows, they're just making stuff up, really.
No, pretty much. I mean, you're trying to see how guys move. I mean, there's some instances where I remember watching Teddy coming off his knee surgeries and saying, man, he's a bad mover. I mean, and it turned out he was a bad mover, right? So sometimes you can kind of see how guys move, but then it can be really deceptive. I mean, Jeff Sims looked incredible when he was throwing against air. I mean, the ball really spit out of his hand, and you could kind of fall in love with him. I mean, big, you know, he's a big horse out
there.
They
did.
Yeah, and you can see why coaches would. I mean, he's a very good-looking athlete.
He runs.
Ball comes out of his hand really well, but it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You got to see how they are when there's a pass rush.
All right.
There's a possibility of getting hit.
When we come back, we're going to continue the discussion of offensive storylines heading into spring practice. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for 5. That's right. a company that sells phones, wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett here. Before we get into some offensive spring storylines, this segment of the Husker Online Show brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks right now is having their semi-annual sale. Get 50% off site-wide and save on mouth-watering favorites today. Go to omahasteaks.com/Husker and shop the semi-annual sale where you can load up on all your delicious flavors you crave at half the price. From their classic, tender, juicy, butcher-cut filet mignons, mouth-watering pure ground burgers, comfort classics, and easy-to-prepare meals that are perfect for those busy weekday nights. Plus, as an added bonus, you'll get 8 free Omaha Steaks hamburgers on select packages when you shop at omahasteaks.com/Husker. With Omaha Steaks, the possibilities are endless, endless flavor, and endless value on incredible entrees, sides, desserts, and more. All of them are at 50% off during the semi-annual sale, and every bite is backed by their 100% additional conditional guarantee. Visit omahasteaks.com/Husker to get 8 free steak burgers as well on select packages when you shop that semi-annual sale. Hurry, because this deal will not last. That's omahasteaks.com/Husker. Thanks again to Omaha Steaks for sponsoring the Husker Online Show. Okay, offensive storylines, guys. We've hit on quarterback, but what about Danny Catlin? I mean, it's always Raiola and obviously Harburg, but man, this is a big spring for Daniel Catlin, and also our first taste of Glenn Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Catlin wants to come in and establish himself as, well, I was just going to say the top backup, but my guess is a guy of that caliber of athlete is coming in to win the job. Mm-hmm. And I hope he doesn't take himself out of it, because the fans take him out of it and the sports writers take him out of it. But the bottom line is it's kind of what we talked about earlier. He's got to make progress. There's got to be a lot of progress made quickly. And how will they do that if he's not getting hit much? That's going to be a kind of a tricky needle to thread.
The one way that they can do it, though, is by only having 3 scholarship quarterbacks on the roster.
Reps.
Those are going to be reps aplenty for all 3 of those guys. Yeah. They're going to get probably more work for a freshman scholarship quarterback coming into his first spring than, you know, maybe anybody. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is going to help with that development. And what an opportunity to really showcase what you can do. I mean, you're going to get chances upon chances against the top-level defense. And what happens if he starts turning heads and starts making the same throws, if not better throws, than Dylan? And then all of a sudden, maybe it's a different conversation going into fall camp.
Yep.
You're listening here to the Husker Online Show. Let's move it over to running back discussion, because no Gabe Irvin or Ramir Johnson this spring. They're going to be recovering. So we mentioned Emmett Johnson, but Dante Dowdell, the transfer from Oregon, is going to get a huge opportunity. And Quentin Ives, the true freshman from a year ago.
And Emmett Johnson.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned Emmett first. Those 3 guys are going to get a lion's share of the carries this spring.
That was huge.
And they'll get good reps. And, you know, can somebody emerge from that group as a one? And then you would have to figure both Irvin Jr. and Ramir Johnson are going to be factored back into the offense when they return.
Yeah, you need 5 at that position minimum. Emmett Johnson comes off a pretty good year. 90 carries, 411 yards. That's 4.6 per carry. That's pretty good. Dowdell carried it 17 times last year at Oregon for 90 yards. Was shuffled back. So what's Dowdell look like? That's what you wonder. Also, Emmett Johnson shows up for the dunk contest. Was it February 25th? I think it was. The dunk contest at halftime of the Minnesota basketball game. Big. He looked big. I mean, he's put on size. That picture intrigued me. In fact, I thought it was Irvin when I first saw him. I thought that was Gabe Irvin. Well, Irvin's a big back.
Come on.
What?
Totally different sizes.
No, I thought
Gabe's like 6'1", probably.
That's my point, though. Emmett looked big.
Yeah.
You know, we're pretty far up, too.
That's all right. So, I'm equally interested in Emmett Johnson because I thought that he was by far the most consistently productive running back of that group, just with injuries and all that, and mm-hmm. fumbles and all that stuff. But then the amount of kind of unprompted praise that Matt Rhule himself put out for Quentin Ives has been intriguing me for months. Like, he played a tiny little bit, like enough to just give him a taste of it, but I'm very curious to see, especially with this spring and the limited numbers they have at running back and the workload that he's going to get. We talked about the quarterbacks getting reps. Ives is going to get plenty of reps as well. How is he going to take
care? I'll be surprised if he emerges over those other guys.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, what's he going to do with that opportunity?
Well, yeah, I mean, because I guess Emmett Johnson a year ago was in a similar position. Mm-hmm. But I just, from what I've heard and know, I think the other guys will be better than him. I mean,
Dowdell and Emmett Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the two coming back. It'll be interesting to see because you got to remember, Ives was a late take. I mean, it was like they had to just get a running back. And they brought, I mean, it wasn't like they courted him and recruited him for a long time to Nebraska. And Emmett Johnson was a late take. So they haven't really been able to recruit like a true high school running back or they courted him the whole process since back to a guy like Gabe Irvin Jr.
Dowdell is that type of running
back. But
this,
yeah, they just recruited him from the portal.
Right. That it's different. Like but I guarantee you he was courted by teams.
Everybody,
like,
yeah.
Like their number one guy.
And they had one in Kewon Lacy. They lost.
Yeah, that's the big one.
What about Malachi Coleman guys and Jalen Lloyd at receiver? And just can they emerge and kind of lock in spots? And, you know, we don't talk about this guy either. Isaiah Garcia Castaneda.
Yep.
He's back. We've heard Coach Rhule mention his name the last few weeks, but you know, you go back, he had over 100 yards receiving in a game in Ireland a couple years ago, and you know, can he at least get in that rotation? I'm not saying he's going to be the leading receiver, but is he a rotation guy?
I would think so. Yeah. I mean, he's 28 years old.
He's 28.
I mean, he's pretty old. I don't know if he's 28, but he's pretty old. So he's experienced. Yeah, you would think he'd be a guy that would. You wonder about Jaden Doss. I mean, the big ones are Jaden Doss, Malachi Coleman, Jalen Lloyd. Alex Bullock's back, too.
Mm-hmm. Demetrius Bell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Demetrius
Bell. And you'll have Davon Hall here for the spring. So that's one to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And I believe Keelan Smith, I believe, is here for the spring, too.
Right. I don't know whether to put him at tight end or wide receiver.
We haven't listed at him and Carter Nelson are very similar. But I would say he's listed as a receiver by Nebraska.
I mean, the leading returning receiver is Alex Bullock. I mean, he had 15 catches mm-hmm. last year, 221 yards. But those young speedsters are a little more enticing to you, right? Jalen Lloyd, Malachi Coleman, and Jaden Doss. I wouldn't ever leave Jaden Doss out of these conversations. And then you have the big horses transfers. I mean, they're here, Isaiah Nayor and Jamal Banks. Those are your main guys. That's who we're talking about, unless you're trying to throw a true freshman in there.
And I think having Garcia Castaneda as a third or even fourth option, that's a huge luxury to have. Because, I mean, he was potentially one of their top guys last year before he got hurt. I mean, he got hurt really early, mm-hmm. but he was being targeted a lot. And coming out of fall camp, there was a lot of praise about the work that he had put in since returning to Nebraska. So, I mean, just the depth that we're talking about now at receiver.
They have more.
It's better.
Yeah.
It's better, especially if the transfers are what we think they can be and they're two top flight guys and then you're supplementing with all those other guys. I mean, right.
Looks pretty good.
With the returning guys like Coleman, Lloyd, Bell, Doss, with Bullock coming back and then Garcia Castaneda. I mean, that's some quality depth.
It looks like the room of a Big Ten team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that last year.
Yeah, where you're like three or four deep total. Right.
This looks more like a Big Ten school wide receiver room should look like.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk defensive storylines next. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
You're listening to the Husker Online Show, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett, talking defensive storylines. But before we get into that, the segment of the show brought to you by our newest sponsor of the Husker Online program, Mando. And Mando, what that is, you're not familiar with Mando. They're great products for men to help you smell better. I mean, they're men's fragrance products, deodorants, dermatologist recommended, fragrance oil free. They're organic, 100% natural. You know, they're a great product. I've got a box they sent over to my house. High quality stuff. They've got everything from shampoo to deodorant. Lots of great products. to try out and check out. And we've got a awesome deal for our Husker Online listeners. Just go to shopmando.com, use promo code Husker, and you'll get $5 off a starter pack, which equates to 40% off of a starter pack. That's shopmando.com with the promo code Husker to receive that $5 discount code. Check it out at mando.com. They've got some great products and fragrance things and deodorants for men. Check it out, mando.com, and use that promo code Husker to get $5 off your first order. All right, let's get into the defensive storylines, guys. You look at things for Nebraska, and I think Tony White is probably, and we hit on this a little bit, but he is kind of the first big storyline because you're getting him and his entire staff back mm-hmm. with a bunch of old dudes that have played a lot of football.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have three of your top four tacklers back, four of the top seven. Isaac Gifford is a key one. He led the team in tackles last year with 86. But the list is long. I mean, Javon Wright was your third leading tackler last year. He's back. John Bullock is back. Those guys are critical because, as we've mentioned, they're the inside linebackers. Productive. I mean, both of them. Javon had 51 tackles. Bullock had 50. But, yeah, overall, you have a lot of guys back, a lot of intriguing guys back, a lot of guys up front, critical guys. Ty Robinson, Nash Hutmacher, Jamari Butler, critical. I mean, those guys – I mean, those are the kind of guys you win with in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and you're talking about guys like Cam Lenhart and Princewell Umanmielen that are in year two now.
100.
What's that jump going to look like?
Yeah.
And so you also have guys like Kai Wallen and Riley Van Poppel. Yeah. I mean, you know, players saw sniffs of. James Williams coming back. So, I mean, like, the depth up front is where it starts. But you can make those same conversations at all three levels to where the defensive line is clearly the strength. Secondary is loaded, like you said, with Gifford, but Tommy Hill coming back. You got Buford coming back off his injury. Deshaun Singleton coming back off his injury. Malcolm Hartzog, who's played a ton of football. Mm-hmm. Bly Hill, who's coming in highly touted transfer. So, I mean, like, the depth there is, I think, just as important. And then if they can figure it out at inside linebacker, mm-hmm. which there's plenty of pieces to work with, it's just a matter of who is going to emerge and who can kind of stabilize that group, that defense could be pretty darn good. And to the point we made in the opening segment, just the number of guys that have played coming back. I mean, not just like returning veterans, but guys that have played substantial snaps in Big Ten games, mm-hmm. which is, again, goes back to that benefit of how much they rotate and how many guys they give opportunities, not just to keep their starters fresh, but to build that depth and experience to where now you're already seeing it going into year two. I mean, there's recognizable names that are proven commodities mm-hmm. as opposed to kind of relying on guys that have never been on that stage before.
You know, another guy, Deshaun Singleton, you know, he was out last year with injury, and I thought he was one of their better guys before the injury, and to see him back there, and we really only got a small taste of Marquise Buford last year. So the back end of this defense could look a lot different with those two back there. You would assume Tommy Hill is a corner. Isaac Gifford is kind of in that hybrid role that he's really thrived in. And then I think the other question now is that other corner. Is it Bly Hill, the transfer?
Hartzog.
Jeremiah Charles.
I mean, they've got some, you know, Dwight Boodle. Don't rule him out either.
No.
They've got some options, I think, at some of those defensive backs.
Yeah, they're pretty. Here's the thing. They were good. We established what their credentials were. 11th ranked total defense in the country. But there's plenty on film you can show them that, hey, we weren't perfect. Mm-hmm. We were far from it. And they didn't get stops at key times. I mean, and Tony talked about it on our video. Third down wasn't great. They were 45th nationally in third down, opponent percentage on third down. Not terrible, but not. Robin, come on, we watched those games. Wisconsin, they could have shut that game down. They didn't shut the game down, the defense. Mm-hmm. Didn't shut it down. Gave up a huge play against Iowa late.
Maryland.
So, Michigan, I thought they got shoved around. Michigan State, I thought they got shoved around. So, there's plenty on tape that Tony can show them that, hey, this is where we can get better. Yet, they did enough to come back with a lot of confidence. So, mm-hmm. it's a pretty good mix.
Well, that confidence and the production that they had all came in spite of having an offense that turned the ball over seemingly every other possession. So the amount of bad spots they were put in to still put up those numbers is really incredible. And so you would hope that their performance, not only just with all they're bringing back and, you know, the benefits of year one from year two, but just having an offense that's going to help them. I mean, you know, keep the ball. Don't put them, you know, spot the opponent at your own 40-yard line.
Good point.
You know, I mean, like, that is going to be just as valuable for this group as anything.
They were really stressed.
I know.
By the offense, by an offense that led the country in turnovers.
Yeah, you look at just the situations that they were in. I mean, they were lucky to get out of a lot of the situations. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it was the offenses of the Big Ten weren't good last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, there wasn't a lot of elite quarterback play.
No.
After Shedeur Sanders and J.J. McCarthy, there really wasn't a lot of great quarterback play Nebraska faced all year. I mean, the Wisconsin guy looked about as good as anyone they saw late in the year.
It's not like he had a great year, but, I mean, he had a good game against Nebraska running the ball. So, yeah, there's enough there, but there's enough there on tape that shows these guys they can get better. But, man, they have some good veteran players coming back. And, you know, you give a nod to NIL on some of that, getting a guy like Ty Robinson back here, probably a guy like Isaac Gifford back. These players are well taken care of nowadays, and they should be.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get into the mailbag, and we've got a lot of spring football questions in the mailbag that we're going to dive into with Abby Barmore. We'll get to that next. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
And we're back here on the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washett, Abby Barmore, as we're going to get into the mailbag here for spring practice. But before we get into that mailbag, it's brought to you by who, Steve Sipple?
Sean, Larson Motors. If you're looking for a new vehicle, or even thinking about looking for a new vehicle, be kind of fun to go for a new experience in Nebraska City at Larson Motors. Larson Motors is one of the Midwest's only dealerships with all the major brands in one location. Finding your new Chevrolet, GMC, Hummer, Ford, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or Ram never has been easier. Start your new experience today at LarsonMotorGroup.com. We're at Larson Motors in Nebraska City, and you know what we always say, Larson Motors, real people, real deals.
All right, let's get into the mailbag, Abby. It's our spring football preview show. Where are we starting off at?
Which five players need to have a strong spring?
I mean, I think you have to say Dylan Raiola, just because you want to feel good about where that's heading.
How about the backups, too? You could just take out three of them right now. Three guys.
Harburg
and
it's
Daniel
probably
Taylor.
His chance here.
Yeah, you need them all. I mean, I would say all three quarterbacks. That's
yeah.
What I'd
what
say.
About like Gabe Irvin?
Needs to have a spring. Is he? He'll be available in the spring.
Yes. No, he's not. Ramir Johnson and Gabe Irvin are out.
See, they're out.
I think it's a big spring for Emma Johnson.
Yes,
he's got to kind of mark. He needs to mark his ground here.
100. Yeah, he can mark his ground. It's a huge spring. Is it now that you mention it? Huge spring for Emma Johnson.
He almost took out Matt Rhule in the dunk contest.
He did, but he looked good. It kind of reminded me of Amir Abdullah. When Amir came here, he didn't really look like a Big Ten running back. But when he left, he looked like a Big Ten running back. And Emmett Johnson, now that looks like a Big Ten running back.
What about Thomas Fedoni?
Big spring.
I mean, I just watched Carter Nelson at state basketball. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he's fluid. He's explosive. They're different kind of athletes, and there's the competition in that room is going to get interesting. For I think Thomas Fedoni, he needs to kind of mark his spot here.
Yeah, or just advance. I would almost look at it more like establish yourself as a real weapon, a week to week big play guy. He had 25 catches last year. He had a good year, but can he have a great year?
What about defense, though? Like, who do you got, Robin?
One more on offense, Prohaska. They need to solidify the left
tackle. Because Corcoran's out.
Tackle situation, not a lot of depth there. Right. They need their top guys to be top guys. I'll go that inside linebacker room.
Oh, yeah.
I want MJ Sherman to step up. This is an opportunity. Mekhi Bayer, those types of guys.
Gavin Wright.
Yeah, that are all in that group, that conversation at that inside linebacker spot. That's probably the biggest question mark on the defense right now.
It is.
Going into the spring. So those guys need to step up and solidify that a little bit.
Brian Buscini, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt like
tailed off.
He had just some really rough moments. And a 20-yard punt in a Big Ten game really is a big deal because, mm-hmm. It gives a shorter field to offenses last year that weren't very good.
100, Sean. And then, you know what? They are looking for a long snapper. That Ortiz was excellent. We never even breathed his name last year because there was never any even – I don't even think there was any close calls.
Not that I remember.
No, he's a guy – he was really good. Now, so Camden went with Tucky. Is the guy. I mean, he'd be that. Well, he was the second string guy last year. He's a kid from Michigan. He's a junior from, I think it's Grand Blanc, Michigan. I'd watch that one too.
All right. What do you got next, Abby?
Robin, you touched on this one, but what is your two deep projection for the linebacker spots?
Oh, boy. All right. Well, Bullock is for sure in that conversation. And right now, I think Thompson's certainly going to be in that equation when all's said and done. Just given the acclaim that's followed him. And then it's a matter of, you know, how is MJ Sherman going to evolve into that role?
Princewell.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you got the Jack has got to be.
Jack is the complicator.
Are we including the Jack in this?
That's
or are we not?
The complicator.
Because are we calling the Jack a linebacker? Are we calling the Jack like an edge?
I don't know.
I think it was just inside,
I think he's,
right?
I feel like he's coached by linebacker coach, though.
Right? Princewell?
The Jack position, right?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yes. Knighton, I don't think Knighton coaches the Jacks. You forget about Chief Borders.
You sure do.
And, you know, you didn't mention Mekhi Bayer. Mekhi Bayer is probably a projected starter right now.
Yeah.
And Javon Wright would be a projected starter with Bullock. I mean, those three, and then Stephon Thompson, MJ Sherman. And then it's a matter of, you know, how do you play that Jack? Because Borders can play the Jack. Sherman can play the Jack. Mm-hmm.
The one other name I'd add that you watch now is Dylan Rogers. I mean, he's a scholarship guy. He's a redshirt freshman. He didn't play last year, but
didn't hear his name much.
No, you heard it. You know what? Rule talked about him late in the season.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I would watch Dylan Rogers, number 52, too.
All right. What do you got next, Abby?
Which player with no to minimal playing time do you expect to make an impact this spring?
I'm going to throw out the receiver, Demetrius Bell.
Okay. Mm.
I think he's a guy that, you know, he had an academic redshirt last year. So he wasn't able to play even four games. But I think that's one, you know, that I'll go with on offense. I mean, the transfers and guys coming in are they weren't here last year. So it's hard. I don't see a lot of other real big surprise faces.
Guys that were here.
Jeremiah Charles would be one.
What about on the offensive line at one of those guard spots with guys like Gatula or
Sledge. Gatula, Knutson. Those are your three redshirt freshmen, big names. It'd
be a big jump for them, but
yeah.
Got a lot of positive talk last year.
Mazuka, though, has – okay, so your guards, you got a lot of guard. You got obviously your center back, Ben Scott.
Mm-hmm.
But
guards. You got Justin Evans.
Justin Evans, Jenkins, potentially Mazuka, as
Henry
a guard.
Litovsky.
And Litovsky. You got three veteran guards there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Corcoran, we don't know what his future is.
Right.
He could redshirt, too, by the way. Corcoran has never redshirted.
Mm.
And so he could play four games this year and redshirt if he wanted to go that route. But, yeah, I think Sledge, if you were going to throw one in there, could make a jump. But again, they returned so many key pieces on that O line. I don't see.
They do, but it's when you get to looking at it, as I did, not the depth is. You don't have a lot of experience depth.
That's a lot of teams though in college football.
True, but Robin is exactly right. Gunnar Gatula could be a number two tackle. Sam Sledge could be a number two guard.
Now Gunnar's playing some guard now. His father was at St. Michael's. Yeah. And he told Brian that Gunnar had been working some guard, too.
Yeah, Brock Knutson is somewhere in this conversation, too. And you wonder about Bricks. I mean, Grant Bricks.
He's here early.
Yeah, he's here early. And he could make a move pretty early. I'd say guard. I don't know where they'll have him. But I think he could play guard. I mean, he played tackle in high school.
What about Sua Lafatu as like a nose tackle body to get him ready to replace Nash Hutmacher in the future?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'd be definitely a guy to watch. Rule's mentioned him prominently more than once.
We got time for one more as we kind of rambled our way for these first few to get done.
Okay, our last one. So obviously this is our spring football preview. What is your most memorable spring football moment?
I definitely have one. You guys can go.
You go first, Seb. You already got one. I want to hear yours.
Yeah. Well, so. Sean, I would be standing by Sean, and maybe Rob. I'd stand by you. It was stunning that first spring when Callahan was here and they were implementing the West Coast offense. They didn't really have the quarterback to do it. God bless Joe Daly. He's one of my favorite players of all time. But there was one moment we were standing on the fence. We could watch all the practices, every minute of every practice. And I just noticed, and I think I might have turned to Sean, there was a series of balls being run back for touchdowns by defensive players. And I said to Sean, is this like a defensive drill?
Nope.
And Sean said, nope, he's just having problems. And they were taking him back for touchdown. There were two or three in a short amount of time. And I thought to myself, he's not. They're taking those back for TDs. Mm-hmm. So, but they were really, as you recall, there was a huge struggle that first year in the West Coast offense. Yes, and we saw it in the spring.
Yeah, the 05 spring scrimmage with Zach Taylor is still probably my most favorite memory. I mean, they went 200 plays probably in this.
They had to go find a quarterback.
And Taylor had the flu, and the quarterbacks were alive, and he was sacked at least 8 times live in a scrimmage. Jay Moore sacked him like 4 times.
I think he got a tooth out and everything.
And he was bloody. Yeah. I mean, that's the last Big 12 player of the year Nebraska's had on offense was Zach Taylor.
And he emerged in that practice.
And that was, I mean, and we got to watch it. I mean, it was like a 3.5-hour scrimmage. Mm-hmm. You know, another one, too, for me was Roy Helu, how he just kind of emerged. And yep. When Pelini got here, everybody was obviously Marlon Lucky. And Bo always was high on Helu. Like, he knew Helu was a dude. And you saw Helu emerge in Bo's first spring and turn into an NFL running back.
Rob.
For me, he didn't really do anything at Nebraska, but the spectacle that was Bubba Starling and his brief spring here at Nebraska.
He wasn't here in the spring.
Well, he was there on fan day.
That was in the summer.
Oh, okay.
So Bubba Starling showed up in June basically to leverage the Kansas City Royals.
That's close to spring, though.
And it was here for 2 seasons. All your research and hard work has just been thrown out the window, Rob.
Okay,
sorry.
Think of another one.
But that, okay, let's just take it back to that whole recruitment. How about that?
Yes.
Where, like, this is one of the prized quarterbacks that, you know, was such a star here at Nebraska and then never even end up playing a
It was a crazy recruitment.
But that fan day, it's not spring at all, but I'll go back to it because it's the reason I was thinking about it. Was they had the quarterbacks, like, in the corner and the end zone, and the line for the QBs went the full 100 yards past the end zone into the next tunnel just for Bubba.
And he used that for leverage.
Yeah, it was a
it was a contract leverage play, don't you think?
He stretched it all the way into fall camp. I mean, that would be more of a fall camp memory because he showed up to classes just to make the Royals squeeze out another.
I will tell you this.
My fall spring was screwed up on that one.
That's okay. I will tell you this. Probably could be a major league scout. I obviously can scout football players very well. Probably could be a major league scout. I went and watched, I went and watched Bubba play baseball. And there's no question in my mind he could play outfield in the major leagues. It was incredible to watch him. There's no question he had speed. He would steal third base standing up. And this was good. These were good high school games. He was incredibly fast, had an incredible arm. I watched him in batting practice and thought, I don't know if he's a hitter. He couldn't hit a curve, and I saw it right away. I was like, I don't know if he's gonna be able to hit the ball in the major. He didn't.
He played in the Army All American Bowl.
Whitey Herzog.
He played in the Army All American Bowl too. He was highly decorated.
Good football player.
Very highly decorated.
So he would have been like an option quarterback,
like a Taylor Martinez quarterback. Jeez. I don't know if option.
I got a new answer. So my high school, I was able to shadow Steve Sippel during the spring game. You probably don't remember it. I just sat next to you, and I remember going through that whole thing. It was my first taste of Nebraska football, learning from the greatest.
Are they still doing that?
It wasn't a total turnoff.
No. I didn't really like. I just kind of watched. I didn't get a lot of advice or insight. You were too dialed in, but it was good.
Thank you, Bob.
I got to go down to the press conference. I vividly remember standing next to Carlos Polk, and that was like my first realization of like how big these dudes actually are.
You stood next to Carlos Polk.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, he was a big – I mean, he was an inordinately big linebacker.
Yes, he was.
He was. He's a big middle, Sean. Do you remember him?
Oh, hell yeah.
Big middle.
6'2", 250 probably. Yeah,
big middle.
All right. Well, that wraps up the spring football mailbag. When we come back, we'll close the show. We're going to talk some Big Ten spring football storylines. You're listening here to the Husker Online Show.
This is Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.
Final segment here of the Husker Online Show. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Robin Washay. Guys, I want to talk just some Big Ten spring football in general, because I do think there's a lot of intriguing storylines across this league. Number one, the league's bigger. It's 18 teams. What do you think, by the way, when they do like those Big Ten like fall camp shows? Can you imagine like how hard that's going to be now? Like, is there any possible way that that crew of guys can go to 18 places in August?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, the tour?
Coast to coast?
The tour?
Yeah.
With Jerry DiNardo? No.
I wonder if they'll have like two teams now, kind of like a nine-man West group and kind of like a nine-man a crew that goes east.
Yeah, I don't know. As far as storylines go, I mean, Michigan obviously is the national returning – it's the national champion returning. So you watch them pretty close. They lost a ton, including probably one of the top three head coaches in the world right now, Jim Harbaugh. So Sherrone Moore takes over. What will that look like? Ohio State's – loaded. We know that. I'm really interested, for instance, in the Ohio State running back picture. They have Trayvon Henderson coming back with Quinshon Judkins from Ole Miss as a transfer running back. I think about that running back room for a second.
Yeah.
Trayvon Henderson and Quinshon Judkins and whoever else they got.
And an offense that's being coached by Chip Kelly.
Yeah, hello.
I mean, that itself is a major storyline with the quarterback change, Will Howard. Taking the reins
How
there.
How about that? It may be. I mean, I think there'll be a battle for that job.
Yeah, it will be. But either way, Ohio State, this is a critical year for them. I mean, and Ryan Day. Yeah. Like, it's probably do it or move on type time for
it's
them.
It's funny.
Which is crazy to say.
It is, because I think he's 35-3 in the Big Ten.
But who are those losses coming to?
Three losses to Michigan.
That's all that matters.
It's like it's Tom Osborne and Barry Switzer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a major advantage with him against Sherrone Moore.
You'd think.
I mean, and you have Chip Kelly.
Yeah, you'd think
like, so. Going all in.
Like, who is Sherrone?
They went all in. That's like, that's
is Sherrone Moore, who is Sherrone Moore's version of Chip Kelly?
Nobody.
It's just going to
look. Sherrone Moore.
And could Sherrone Moore get the Eagles head coach job in the Redskins? I mean, like, Chip Kelly. I just don't look. I mean, what Ohio State's done and built the quarterback position, the staff, what they've done. They're a playoff team.
Oregon and Ohio State are clearly – I mean, they're clearly the top two, one would think. Penn State would have something to say about that. But, man, I mean, Franklin's lack of success against Ohio State and Michigan is sort of startling. So you can't really put Penn State on the same plane as Ohio State at any point. Ohio State's beat Penn State seven straight times. So – no, at the top two, it looks like Oregon, Ohio State. Oregon's loaded up. Oregon's like an SEC team.
Mm-hmm.
Their trenches are like an SEC team. They don't come in to this league, Oregon, and you're not thinking, oh, I don't know if they're physical enough. Oh, they're physical enough. They'll be fine in that way.
And they can run it.
You know, they can run it. They're a physical team. I mean,
yeah. And then with the USC, you know, they've completely overhauled their defensive coaching staff to where, like, they're kind of rebranding themselves to where defense was optional for a long time out there.
Terrible.
Now, how's that going to work in the Big Ten? So that transition now of this West Coast pass-happy style of football, they got to start preparing themselves for a whole new world that they're getting into.
I think USC is going to have a tough transition to the Big Ten.
I do, too. So is UCLA.
And I'll go back to when Nebraska played Lincoln Riley and Norman that year. And Scott Frost put together kind of a Big Ten game plan. They went heavy and physical, and they almost won in Norman.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good Oklahoma team.
Pretty good. Yeah, Lincoln Riley, on the other hand, it's a think about Tony White. Tony White's got to prepare for a lot of different looks. Mm-hmm. I mean, now you're going to – you throw USC into the mix where they spread you out, and they have a ton of speed on offense.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to catch the Washington game last season, because the game that Nebraska played was during the daytime, and I was startled. I was struck by USC's speed on offense. Wow! So you got to defend. I mean, it's gonna don't see a lot of that in the Big Ten
though. In November,
that's a good point. But they'll play out in California when they play Nebraska, and be fine weather wise, I imagine.
The contrast though between those offenses to Iowa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What, like, you see a lot of Illinois. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Purdue. Well, Purdue's, I don't know what the hell Purdue does, but the, yeah, it's quite a contrast.
Five new coaches in the Big Ten this year, too. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of new faces and a lot of new eras being ushered in this spring as well.
And, guys, they protected USC where they're not going to have to play a lot of those weather games. So here's their month of November. They're at Washington November 2nd. You know, that's just,
it's a Pac-12 game.
It's like playing in Dublin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, then you've got Nebraska and LA. You got UCLA and Pasadena. Then Notre Dame comes to LA. So yeah,
protected.
Then they have Rutgers home game in LA on October 26th. Their deepest road game is October 19th at Maryland.
So that's a tough one.
You're not going to see USC be forced to play a Big Ten elements game. They're at Minnesota on October 5th, and they're at Michigan on September 21st. So I do think they got a pretty good year one schedule where they're not going to be forced to go to, like, Madison on November 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. Boy, but look at that. Look at that. That's the USC schedule right there. So, I mean, it's fascinating. USC's playing Michigan, Penn State.
Nebraska, Notre Dame.
That's the beauty of this new configuration. Those matchups are incredible.
Well, think
those are dream matchups.
Think if Florida State joins this league.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what Trev was talking to us about. You can't look at college football through the prism of 1993 anymore. It's like the NFL now. You might throw a 8-4, and it's a pretty good season.
Mm-hmm.
Or a real good season. We're heading into that kind of direction, like that NFL type way to look at this. Am I wrong?
No doubt. I mean, 9-3 is going to be a good year in this league.
I'd say real good.
Just the quality of wins you're going to have.
Yeah.
With that schedule.
Yeah.
And if they keep adding, and I always say Florida State because I think it's very realistic. Florida State's in the Big Ten. They're going to leave the ACC.
Yeah. Inevitable.
Because the ACC is not going to like restructure to appease Florida State. The question will be: will the SEC or will ESPN let them leave their television networks to join the Big Ten and Fox and their brands?
Florida State's really something to watch right now.
They're not an AAU team, so we'll find out if that really matters. Because
Nebraska's not an AAU team.
They're trying to get back.
Yeah, they are. They're making some moves. Then they were an AAU team when they joined the Big Ten, and then they were quickly ushered out of the AAU.
I think people might think we're talking about like a basketball team.
We're not.
We're not talking about AAU or an academic.
Yeah, and I don't know what AAU stands for, Robin. I don't know what
that's. We all went to Nebraska.
So we're not in the AAU anymore.
They didn't claim us. AAU, and it's not like it's Sean's, it's not AAU boxing we're talking
about. Academic Association of Universities.
Is that what it is?
Is it the Association of American Universities?
Okay. I was close.
Close enough.
The Association of American Universities.
71 universities, both public and private.
So we should mention Nebraska begins spring ball March 24th.
It's a late start.
March 24th, and the spring game is April 27th with an 11 a.m. kickoff that Sean loves, that he is very in favor
of. Hey, it's going to be an earlier post-game show.
Yeah.
I love it as well.
All right. Well, gentlemen, had a lot of fun putting together the spring football preview show. I'm going to let Steve Sipple off now to do basketball with Robin. Robin, okay. You've got to take care of Steve.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, this is a big show.
And if he gets
handle it.
If he steps on your toes in Minneapolis.
Steps on your toes.
Yeah. I
mean, just call me.
No, I'll be like, hey, listen, you're my assistant here. And Steve, you just
thank you.
You just help me out as needed.
You're okay. Just going to write non-byline game stories.
Staffers.
Staff reports.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
I bet there'll be plenty to write about.
I'm sure there will.
Well, if you're not a member of Husker Online, great time to join us. Spring football around the corner, March Madness basketball. Try us out. Get 2 months for $1. Simply use promo code NU1. That's promo code NU1. 2 months for $1. For Steve Sipple, Robin Wash at Abby Barmore, I'm Sean Callahan signing off here for another edition of the Husker Online Show.
Thanks again for joining us this week on Husker Online, your authority on Nebraska athletics.